What's good, everybody? First, before you listen to this podcast, I just want to say I love you guys and just appreciate with all my heart. I hope everybody's doing super well. I also want to talk about the new hit show, Tea with Gary Vee, every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gary. Tea with Gary Vee, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., 2 hours of me doing Q&A with people individually, the deepest in-depth that I've ever done, more than Ask Gary Vee. I'm super excited about it. It's on facebook.com/Gary every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's a smash. If you go on social media, people are freaking out. Maybe my best content pillar ever. If you want to get your questions on it, you can ask at 212-931-5731 on my community app. That's where we're taking the questions from. And what I mean by that is you ask the question there, use hashtag T with Gary V, and then somebody from my team goes in there and contacts you and actually gets you to be in the prompt for asking the question on the show in video form to then distribute out to Facebook. T with Gary V, the new smash hit show, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. West Coast, wake up at that 5:45 time, brush your teeth and get on it. We got a lot of West Coast people on it. Hope you enjoy it. Hope I see you there. Love you guys. See ya.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Yeah, okay, it's T with Gary V. Sipping empathy. I know patience is the key. Putting out all of my shit for free. This is T with Gary V. Might go make a flip. Take a risk.
Good morning. It is T with Gary V on this April 30th. In 2020, right? 20. Tomorrow is the first day of May. And so this is the last day of April. And so let's get right into the show.
What is up, Gary? How are you doing?
I'm well, Spencer. How are you?
I'm doing well, dude. It feels great to be here, man. It feels great to finally get to talk to you. Although it's not face-to-face, we are social distancing meeting right now. I wish I was in New York, having this talk with you. Man, it feels great to be here. I'm going to get into it, give a little bit of context to everyone that's listening right now. I am a beatboxer, so I make music out of my face. I'm living my dreams in Hollywood right now. I have followed your advice for the past 4 years, so this is really, really crazy that we're here right now.
Thank you, Spencer. Congrats on all your success.
Thank you so much. Dude, thank you so much for sending me that DM the other day and saying congrats on everything that's happening with me. It really, really means a lot to me, especially coming from you. I was homeless last year, my guy. I was homeless last year, and I was figuring a way to piece things together. I was looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, hey, look, if you really, really want this, you want to be the guy for this, you got to put in the work. And I watched you religiously, my dude. I watched you religiously, and I was fighting adversity. And I got early onto TikTok, really, really early onto TikTok. And I just played the game. I put a beat out every single day. And that my song. Those were my mixtapes. And I put it out every single day. And I'm like, in 365 days, if this doesn't work, shit, man, maybe something else is happening. But right now, I'm sitting at the top 10 within the platform, which is insane because I went from not really having a home and being in a windowless room to having an audience, having attention, having people around me that really, really care about me. I'm getting ad deals. I'm talking to agencies right now. I'm looking to release a song within the next little bit more than a month, but we're planning it out right now. And it's really, really exciting. So my question is for people that are in my position. You talk a lot about getting to this certain place, you know, finding your group of people, finding your audience. And right now, people are gravitating towards me in order to build a bigger vision, something more sustainable, which I really want to do. I want to bring back to everyone that's given to me. So, in hopes of forming a team, I noticed that's what you have built so strongly. Who are people in a modern and perhaps future business? Who are some key players? Who are people that you can't live without?
I think the couple things. One, in the same way that you kind of took a step back and said, let me be patient but thoughtful, and you took advantage of the new attention on a platform and it's put you on this path, I think the first person you should start with is a right-hand person, just an admin, you know, assistant, like just a confidant, somebody you can trust. You know, that would be my starting point. And then really you start building around you. The people I can't live without might be different than who you can't live without. Meaning, you know, for example, you know, I despise logistics. I need an admin to make sure I know where I'm going or things of that nature. So I think you're going to need to figure out what you need. Some people need a PR person around them to get attention. I did not. Some people need a salesperson around them. I do not. You know, so you really need to think about who you need around you for you. Less about me. It's about you being self-aware. But I think given your circumstance, especially going from homeless to this, the extremes of 1 year, what I want to do is make sure you really, you know, gather your thoughts of the last 4 years of the stuff you've heard from me, which is look for a kind, good person that can really bring you value and complements the things that you don't want to be doing.
I 100% agree with what you're saying. Like you say, double down on your strengths, and for the weaknesses, you know, build on them, but know that other people can do them better, and have them help you. So right now, that's a really, really big thing. I have a very small.
You need to slow it down even more than you think right now, even though it seems like the time to, you need to slow it down in your mind and press hard in your actions. So you need to be making more content right now. You need to do how you know, when I DM'd you, I'm trying to remember now, how big is your audience on Instagram?
Instagram is not nearly as big as TikTok.
Yeah, I remember. So how much?
It's at like 750K, a little bit above that right now.
I would probably, if I were you, I would probably make a single piece of TikTok content a day that was moving the audience to YouTube and Instagram and Twitter. I would do that every day, once a day. Wow.
Today's like
a Twitter reply day, everyone. Like boom, 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 you do your beatboxing and you're like, yo, first 500 people that reply on Twitter, I'm gonna reply to.
Boom, give back. I like that.
Wow. They get pumped because your audience loves you. You got 40 million in that youth world, but now you're building, I want you to diversify out of TikTok. I want your actions to be more hardcore, but in your brain, I don't want you buying things. I don't want you overhiring things. You know, I don't want you, you know, I don't want you to think like your agent, whoever your manager is going to be, is going to like completely put, you know, like you need to be smart.
I've listened to you so far. I haven't monetized my audience at all, but we're thinking about coming out with merch in the next month which could work.
There's a million ways to do it, but like punchline being slow it down.
Yes. Be more thoughtful. Be more focused. Stay hungry. Be grateful. Centered.
Right, talk to you soon.
My God. Thank you. Bless.
You got it, brother. Take care. Great kid. He's doing a really good job crushing TikTok.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm well, Chris. How are you?
Good. I'll just get right into it. So a little bit of background context. At 15, I bought my, I'm a Chicagoland DJ. At 15, I bought my own mixer. I took all the money in my bank account. I spent it on one mixer. And for 6 months straight, I locked myself in a room. And 6 hours a day, I just taught myself how to mix. And I did that for 6 months before I went on a Carnival cruise. And I met the onboard DJ there. And he actually saw, you know, what I taught myself. Then he actually, him and I exchanged contact info. He is now my mentor. And I have a internship set up, you know, in the future after I graduate high school. And so after I came back, I joined a family business for DJing. And I have an Instagram, and every single week I force myself to release a new mix every Monday. And I release two other posts during the week. So okay. I'm active on it. And then active-ish, yeah.
Ish. I don't want three posts a week, I think, is quite low.
Okay. I just don't, like, I only have, you know, 65 followers on there. And so? I guess I just don't want to, like, flood how many posts are coming out.
You're definitely not flooding them.
So, I just wanted to know, you know, what more can I do? How do I expand my growth? How do I, like,
by posting more.
Yeah, how am I gonna get more followers? How am I gonna, like, I guess, get a following and get to where I want to be?
People get very confused and get tactical instead of looking at things in the macro. How did Martin Luther King get more influence and get a movement by him? He spoke in more churches.
Okay. So
how did Michael Jackson and Prince and Madonna become the, you know, the dominating music forces of the 80s? Their fucking videos played 24/7 on MTV. Brother, I'd rather you have the 60, you're playing defense. You're like, oh, I'm going to flood the 65 and it's going to go to 42 without realizing if you post three times a day that 65 is going to go to 650.
Okay.
Everybody worries about what's going to go wrong instead of focusing on what's going to go right. You're in a defensive mindset.
So, okay. I haven't gone to TikTok for DJing.
Real quick, I apologize, because Claude Diamond in the comments brings up the question that people struggle with when I say this. Is it quality or quantity? Quality is subjective. Mm-hmm. Whether I like your fucking beats or not is my subjective call. There's people that think, you know, some of the greatest artists of all time are overrated or underrated. You know what I mean? That's quality is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Quantity is not. It's fucking math.
Okay. So essentially, the more that I put out, the higher chance of people seeing it.
Just think about that sentence and just break it down with me. Like, you know, it's funny because I get it. I actually have a lot of empathy where your mindset is. It's where most people are. Of course, by nature of what you just said, like three posts a day on Instagram, three posts a day on TikTok, 12, 15 posts on Twitter, you know, one YouTube video a day. Yes, but that's exactly right. I can't control your quality. I can't control if you're Timbaland or if you're not. I can't control that. But I can tell you right now, the more somebody posts, the more they're forced to create and ideate, the more it expands their ability to be creative, and it gives them more opportunities to get awareness and opportunity. 99% of people that are out there and 98% of people that follow me go the other way, you know, hide behind perfection or other, you know, facades to not put out more because of insecurities or laziness or lack of drive or lack of conviction or many other variables, thus giving them almost no chance of success.
So what if I were to migrate to TikTok, which honestly
it's not migrating, it's adding.
Okay. So
talking everywhere. Just because Martin Luther King gave a talk in a small church in Memphis didn't mean that he couldn't go then give a big talk in a big hall in DC.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is always more.
And
you're trying to amass attention to give you opportunity to do something you love. So okay. by even common sense, that needs more reps.
So. You know, I was thinking, you know, what do I post on TikTok? Do I just follow trends? Because it's a weird gray area that I'm in.
Ready for this? Both. Make one trend, make a talking video, you know, make another, then a third trend comes, you're like, wait a minute, I can creatively mix that into what I do well.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Like, literally, this is like a Zen, like my concept of communication is almost Zen-like. It's like, yes, more, yes, yes. Everyone's asking these questions and I'm like, the fuck are we asking these questions for? Do you want to follow a trend? Yes. Do you want to dance? Sure. I haven't made a dancing video because I can't fucking do the pop lock shit. Like, you know, but like, if you can do it, or, you know, I made a wine video. You know, I wanted to make a wine, you know, I haven't made a wine video on Musical.ly/TikTok for 4 years. But I finally feel it's old enough and I felt comfortable enough. And I made one of those like a couple of posts ago. Like, yes. There's also going to Twitter. You have a Twitter account or no?
Yes.
And searching terms in your industry, like literally Twitter search, you know, and you search, you know, not generic, but esoteric terms in your business, you know, in mixing culture, you type them in, you see people talking, jump in and reply and go into those conversations.
Okay. But do you think I'm doing the right thing? You know, I'm also not only with this family business, but I'm also going to other, like, I'm looking up like other party groups, I guess, in Chicago, and I'm going to them. I'm saying, you know, good. If you need a DJ, here I am. I have.
Yes, but that's sales. That's sales. You're doing a good job with sales. You're not doing a good job with brand.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's why I think I came on here today, just because I literally just need to find a way how to grow that fan base, I guess, how to grow that number.
It's tough to grow anything if you're not watering it, and content is water.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right. On Twitter, then I'll make, you know, text posts saying like, hey, yep. You know, here's what's coming out. How are you guys doing? This is, you know,
I would talk more about the overall genre. Nobody cares yet about what you've got coming out. Just like nobody cared that nobody cared like my opinion on wine at first for the first 2 years. I just talked about wine.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Nah, all right. So I would more or less talk
less like, about you. You're a sales. I like where you're at on sales, but when you make content, you have to bring them value, not make it about you need to make about it or them.
So on Twitter, then I would just be like, you know, if the Billboard top 10, you know, look at them and be like, hey, look at this music. You know, this is what's happening in the community.
Yes.
And then I go on to TikTok, you know, duet Charli D'Amelio for all I care.
Yes.
Then, you know,
that's right. That's right. Then, you're doing three a day. So if you're going to duet Charli, or if you're going to just sit there and talk, or if you're going to follow a trend and make one of those. Yes.
Okay. So.
Got it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You got it, brother. Talk to you soon.
You too. See ya.
All right. Looking a little younger this morning. Caught Dustin off guard. Dustin, you didn't see, you know, I had a little fun last night. Before I fully shaved it off, I did something pretty good.
What'd you do? You should have kept that.
I was gonna get him this morning, but I was like,
man. You should have kept that. That would have been a great surprise for everyone watching just to see that.
I was thinking about it. All right, let's keep going. Jeremy, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Gary?
Looking good.
Dude, this is awesome. Truly an honor and privilege just to get on. This is really cool.
Thank you, brother.
So my question revolves around ad spend on social media.
Okay.
I recently published a book back in mid-January is when it went live or for sale on like Amazon and everybody. And this was a book was kind of a story about my experiences as a kid being bullied and what I went through, and then kind of evolved into discussing a little bit about how it affected me later on in life, and then what my thoughts are on how to fix the epidemic, which is just growing and growing every year. I'm in probably 2/3 of the way done with my second book, which is, you know, going to cover some topics about all of the failures in my life, everything from, you know, when I started out, I was going to write about all the failures of managers and bosses that I ever worked for and kind of point the finger saying, here's how this guy screwed up. And, you know, I was going to say why that was wrong and here's how they should have acted. And then I realized that was ridiculous of me to try to write something like that. And I actually, after watching a lot of your content, I really changed my whole perspective on that and said, all right, here's everywhere
Jeremy, on that point, were you able to see the attractiveness of accountability?
Yes. Actually, you know what I want to say probably, and the second book was the first one I started writing. But as I started to write that book, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm about to explain how all these things failed. Why have I failed at so many different things? And that's when I kind of did a lot of soul searching and went and wrote my first book about my bullying experiences. But it was, I want to say January of last year in 2019, I was, I think I was at the gym running on a treadmill or something. Or I was out for a run, I don't know, but I was listening to one of your keynotes in my headphones as I'm running. And I want to say it was probably a keynote you did in Singapore or Philippines, somewhere. It was overseas, I believe. And I don't know what the show was or the conference was, but in the middle of it, you're addressing all these entrepreneurs and you were making the point about accountability. And you said, look, everything that happens at VaynerMedia is my fault, yeah. 100%. And I can't remember. I just literally stopped what I was doing and I was like, holy shit. And then I really started listening to that and I was like, wow. And it just completely opened up everything for me. And
you know what's crazy about it is I actually genuinely mean it. I really believe that, you know, like it's, you know, my, you know, it's empowering, you know, people love the short term good feeling of blaming someone else, but it leads to very, very, very bad long-term life. On the flip side, yeah. You know, it's not fun to say this is fucked up because of me, but that's like a short-term pain, and long-term, it's created incredible serenity and peace and happiness for me. I feel fully in control.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's like, you know, you always used to say that, you know, a lot of your haters say, who cares about Gary? He just says the same thing every time. Well, I don't think that's the point to make. The real point is you're consistent in your message. And that's what I loved about it. And, you know, I took that to heart. And so the one I'm writing now is basically, you know, I'm looking at things that I failed or dropped the ball on. And instead of pointing the finger at a boss who may have dropped the ball or treated me terribly, I can at least start to identify, here's what I should have did. And here's how I could have won in that situation.
Including some up, you know, you can't control people. And if, you know, if you have a terrible boss, like maybe you just need to work somewhere else. And that's you taking control of it.
Yeah.
You know, I love your hoodie and I love this country. I was born in the former Soviet Union, but like sometimes when people really get upset with America, I have a lot of empathy because their experience may be difficult, but I always remind them like, you could move to Sweden. You could.
Sure.
You know, it seems extreme. It's like selling your home. You know, it sounds like you follow me. Like I talk a lot about selling your home when you can't afford your lifestyle. It seems like when I started talking about it a year and a half ago, like the entire real estate community got upset with me, this and that. I was like, it's fine. People can be upset with me, but like you could, you know, like to me, I don't care about how money compounds or what the value of something is. If one's unhappy, there is no smarts behind it. I don't care that you make $1 million a year in this business. If it burns you to the ground in your emotions, it was a bad idea. You were better off, you know, doing this other thing for $73,000 a year. I mean, it's not super complicated. Yesterday I was on a big Australian radio show and they were talking about like, I was talking about my optimism and the DJ was like, man, you're a little too optimistic. He's like, what about all the death? I'm like, what about all the people that's lives have been saved by COVID? I mean, does the world realize that if COVID started 2 months earlier, Kobe Bryant would be alive?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, do you know how many people die in traffic accidents every day in America? Do you know how low that number is right now? Cause nobody's driving.
Crime rates are down, everything. Yeah.
Like, you know, like people are, you know, like, yes, there's incredible pain and there's people who've passed specifically because of COVID and they would have lived for another 50 years. And on the flip side, there's people that were going to die because like and that's where I get into in my mind, which is like it's just how you see it. And you were seeing it as like it was Rick's fault and Stan's fault and Jay's fault, and then boom, one fucking sentence and you're like, wait a minute. And that accountability leads to control, because when you think it's everybody else's fault, you feel so sad because you're like, fuck, they're in control. People don't understand control is the happiness. Control.
I hated my last corporate boss that I had before I left my job. I hated him because he was a true bully and I didn't know how to deal with him. And what made it worse was the fact that I looked at this guy as he's affecting my, you know, not only just me, but my family's financial well-being. He's affecting whether or not, you know, everything. So my hate for this guy grew more and more. And it's like, I look back on it now, I'm like, I could have handled this guy so much better. I lost a lot of my focus because I was just so focused on the fact that he didn't like me and he didn't, you know, it seemed like he wanted to push me out the door. And, you know, I mean, a lot of guys in our team felt that way, but.
And I think what people don't understand is getting pushed out the door, AKA walking out the door, is a powerful move.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And most people feel like that guy won. I don't. because when everybody walks out the door, that guy gets fired by what's above him.
Yeah.
People are confused. Every single person here is actually 100% in charge. This is a huge moment. I really appreciate you coming on. You're getting me going here. Like, this is like, I'm like really going down a path I want to. You're actually 100% in charge. You actually are. What is required to get out of the most difficult situations may feel super uncomfortable or not the ideology of how you saw it. But once you change your ideology, and once you stop putting something on a pedestal, a dream, a thought, an idea, and instead just living in the actual moment, you actually realize you're 100% in charge. You can move, you can get divorced, you can quit a job, you can do anything if you've got humility and confidence. If you have humility and confidence, you can do everything.
Mm-hmm. I believe that 100%. I think that's kind of the joy of being a small business owner too, that, you know, if whatever, whether it's a pizza shop or a, you know, a media company or whatever it is you have, that you're the business owner, it's all on you. You know
how many people bought homes, cars, and went on vacations in the last 2 years that they couldn't afford on paper, and small business owners that are now blaming COVID, like, oh, see, the world hates me. I'm like, no, the world doesn't hate you. You had bad behavior. The last 4 years, you could have been saving money and you could be using that money right now, growing your business, but you took the money out of the business and you bought a Porsche.
100%.
I know.
You know, it's like the people right now, I've put out a couple comments on Facebook and Twitter here and there about, you know, all right, we're all on quarantine for the last almost 2 months now. What are we all doing? You know, I know most people are sleeping in, most people are just hanging out, and that's good to relax a little bit. But I also said, what better time to do something, try something? You know, it's not, I'm not saying everybody just needs to get out and start running 10 miles. It's, you know, is there a hobby you wanted to get into? Is there books you wanted to read, things you've, that have been stacking up in your life that you haven't been able to do? Well, hello, this is the time.
I mean, there's so much fun. Somebody hit me up the other day. It's like, Gary, I feel useless. I'm not doing anything. I want to get back. I have no money. I'm like, you could have retweeted the All In Challenge, Dustin. Like you're following me every day, watching 8 hours a day. I'm talking about this thing. I'm not even asking you for the $10 raffle ticket to go into my thing. You could just share it on your Facebook. 99% of the people watching this every fucking morning have not even shared allinchallenge.com.
Right.
Like, because people don't get that they're in control. People talk shit, Jeremy. Oh, but I want to give back, but I don't have the resources. Sure you do. You have 14 followers on Twitter. That's called resources. You have 113, you know, contacts in your cell phone. You can literally say, have you checked out this All-In Challenge? You should buy a $10 raffle ticket. Every fucking person here could do that and feed somebody that's hungry for all the fucking hundreds of emails I'm getting every day of, I wish I could be giving back right now. You can. It's not just money. It's awareness. It's there's a million, you know, like, I don't get it.
You could go down that list of all of the challenges and just find one and say, hey, this challenge, my friend or cousin.
Here's one. Every single person here, if you can go to the Instagram profile and the Twitter of your favorite celebrity and athlete and just say, hey, you should join the All In Challenge. Like, James Harden might see that.
Yeah.
You're in control. My vote doesn't count. I don't have it. Like, everybody can make anything happen.
Yeah.
This is an incredible, it's called the internet. Accountability is the greatest drug in the world.
Absolutely. And that's, I'm hoping that will reign true. And when I finish this book and I don't know, hopefully another couple of weeks, I'll have it done and I can start editing and get it done.
The best way to sell a book and be successful in that is to give away free content about the subject matter every day, 24 hours a day.
So, and it's funny, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things I did is, I think, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, you started talking about TikTok. And at the time, I took exactly the attitude that you said we all would, which was, all right, that's for, you know, teenage kids. I'm 48. I'm not going to get on TikTok. There's no way. I remember at one point, it was probably around Christmas time, you had said, hey, just get on it and watch it. Spend a couple weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever, and just watch and just keep scrolling and just what. And so I did that and I was like, holy crap. You know, aside from all the dance, you know, videos or whatever. There are a ton of people, especially older people. My favorite is all the parents in their 40s that are on it specifically to ruin it for their kids.
100%.
So, yeah. And I think probably last week I just started, you know, I'd go out for a run and I'd get done and I'd have a thought in my head about something. I just put the camera on and just roll with it and then throw it up on TikTok and just to do it. And, you know, I was very hesitant at first because it's a self-esteem thing. You know, I'm putting myself out there. The exposure is what scares the crap out of me, and I'm sure everyone else. So, but I just did it and I started doing it. And I think that this is an excellent platform where I can, you know, 60 seconds, you know, don't have to worry about it. I mean, I have Final Cut Pro and I edit stuff and I'm like, I don't even need to do that. Just throw it on there. Forget about everything else.
Make it. I'm proud of you, Jeremy. I like where you're headed. Keep going.
Hey, so
please.
The last thing was regarding my question was on ad spend. So when my first book came out, I did a bunch of ads on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I'm trying to figure out LinkedIn and get that right. What I noticed, though, and after talking to my publisher, is that there's a 90-day lag between the purchase and sales data coming out. Like, so if somebody bought the book today, it'd be 3 months before I'd know that sale occurred.
The Amazon rank moves by the second. Your publisher's thinking old school. You can see the Amazon rank change by the second.
Oh, I didn't know. I gotta make a note of that.
Yeah, if you look at your Amazon rank on your book rankings, you can get an indicator. It updates every hour on how your ad spend's doing.
Okay.
That's your answer.
That I didn't know. That'll be good to know. I did notice that when it first got put on Amazon in January, they had one copy in stock, which the publisher told me that's how it's going to be until it starts to sell. Now I think they're up to 11 or 12 in stock, which that's something. So it's
better than zero.
Absolutely.
Run the ads, run content towards it, link all your social media accounts to the Amazon URL, all your default links in all your profiles.
Okay.
Make 10, 15 pieces of content a day and look at the Amazon rank every hour. There's your tactic.
I love you, man.
I love you back. See ya.
Thank you.
You know, it's funny, a couple things there to recap that call. One, as you saw in the last 18 seconds of that call, I can go tactics all day long. I spend 99% of my time on macro because fixing the sink is not interesting if you don't have the well fixed, right? You can Google what I just said to him as like, how do you see if your ad spend is doing well on Amazon? It's the same thing with the people that are mad at me in the comments right now for interrupting. It's my style. Like I get what he's saying and I'm trying to move to the point and I'm trying to bring value to everybody. I understand what he's saying. The reason all the callers are so happy is they know that I understand what they're saying. I understand it might not be the best style. It might not be the, you know, the kindest, or it might come off like I'm a douche or only want to hear myself speak. I understand everything you're saying. I promise you 100% of the fucking energy and focus is on value. We have an hour. Trying to get through and get as much as possible. The caller might not be upset. You might have not processed it, but I have. You're also more than welcome to do your own show. Plus, there's unlimited content of podcasters and interviewers who let people finish their entire thoughts. And you can watch that unlimited. Everyone's got their own style, and the value comes if you really look second layer. Let's keep it going. Hey, Mackenzie.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I'm nervous, but I'm good. Really happy to be here.
I'm happy to be with you.
And I'm thanking you so much for doing this. I just appreciate it so much. Just saw your videos like 3 years ago and just watch them almost every day. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So just to kind of start off, I'm from Portland, Oregon, near Chris, actually, only about an hour from him. I'm 21. Basically, I work at a job that is okay, but I don't want to do it forever. So recently, I decided to launch working on launching a meal prep business. And I love like Latin culture. Gets me really fired up. Always like trying to learn Spanish, like been trying to learn for a while. My boyfriend, he's Mexican, Mexican-American. Something I really enjoy. So we decided to start a Mexican-inspired meal prep company.
Okay.
Now, so the meals are healthy. So it's kind of like geared towards people that have trouble losing weight. because they don't want to eat dry chicken breast and broccoli. So basically, I'm having trouble with social media because one, I'm not a trainer, and two, I'm not a nutritionist. So I need to know, like, how do I provide value without stepping out of my lane?
Opinions and information that you know. You know, people, you know, when I got huge in the wine world, everyone's like, oh, are you a sommelier? I'm like, no, I worked in a wine store and, you know, didn't have to work in a restaurant and get a sommelier certificate. I learned in the streets. You know, just because you're not a trainer, don't put trainers and nutritionists on a pedestal. Yes, those professions, certifications can give them potential surface level clout to be able to talk about it. The reason you can talk about it is because you're McKenzie and you're a human. And you have an opinion on what fucking corn and salsa and fucking meat and chicken and fucking, you have an opinion. That's why. Right. Don't okay. underestimate your opinion. You don't need to be an expert.
Okay.
I promise you right now, I don't have a psychology degree. I'm willing to go up against people that have them because I have natural okay. talent. Right. I didn't go to business school to, you understand?
Yeah.
You know, you're at a young age where the structure puts certificates and process on a pedestal. People put process or checking the box on a pedestal versus real life. You have passion for Latin culture. That's already giving you permission.
Right.
You genuinely like it.
Yeah. Okay.
You're having trouble. You're having trouble on social media because you have the insecurity of not thinking you're the part, which then stops you from making.
100%.
I know.
And then
so real quick, not to get to the second part. So like, let's put a nail in this coffin. Like,
yes,
you have permission. I'm giving it to you. Here's your certificate. Okay. It's a fucking Gary Vee certificate. You can fucking post your fucking opinions about Latin food.
Okay. So that was kind of like, yeah, obviously I have an insecurity, but that was the excuse on what to make. And then should I just like, I don't even know, like just posting, like, cause I don't want to be like, there's like a lot of like companies in my area and all they do is they just post like, or put your orders in. They're not really like providing value. So should I just like, kind of like post, like, I don't know
Have you ever read Jab, 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 Right Hook?
No.
Okay. Give Dustin.
But I've heard a lot of it.
Okay. Give Dustin your address. You know, once you come off here, he'll grab you. We'll get your address and I'm going to send you a copy.
Okay. Thank you.
But to help everybody who's not going to get a copy, give value, ask for business. Jab, 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 right hook. You know, talk about you and your boyfriend, talk about your favorite things, show a nice picture, make a funny video, and then ask. But I'm telling you right now, TikTok.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mackenzie. Take care.
Bye.
Yep, it's an interesting show. The lack of beard is giving me some interesting energy here, Dustin. I'm feeling kind of like sharp. What are you laughing about?
Just the lack of beard.
Okay, good. Keep it moving. Tanner, what's good? Can't hear you. All right. Tanner? Mm-mm. Can't hear you. Let's see what's going on. I'm on TikTok. I'll Creeper, what's good? Tan, you good? Yep, you can go to the next one. Thank you. Stun, what's good? Ryan Harmon, what's good? Freestyles, Nick Waller, what's good? Good morning, Derek Brad. Jennifer Dalton, appreciate you this morning. John Hollywood. Hi.
Holy shit. Can you hear me?
I can. What's your name?
Rye. Right. It's Mariah, but I go by, yeah. I may I do a shameless plug first?
Sure.
So if I could I have a follow back on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
It's I have like a stage name type thing. It's at Letty Lotage, LettieLotoj. I know that sounds like a porn star name, but it's like a mixture of my parents' names. So. And I'm doing this thing right now for COVID. Thank you. Wow.
You're welcome.
Oh my God. my life just was made. I'm doing this thing that I wanted to ask you to donate to and kind of put it out there to the fans that are your fans. I don't know why I'm not talking like a human being. So I'm going to go out in the community and help the homeless, like the female population, with items for like their menstrual cycle. So me and my mom like lived in my car last year, and I've been homeless at other points in my early life. And it fucking sucked to be on your period and not have a change of clothes and not have a shower. And it's embarrassing and humiliating when you, you know, like mess up your clothes. So I was like, well, that felt like shit. So I'm going to, you know, like I put some money aside, because right now I have my stimulus check and that's really like all me and my mom have. But I was like, well, I want to give back to the people that donate. So I decided that I'm going to give them a $10 gift card to whatever their store or restaurant of choice is as like an incentive to donate. But I'm taking tampons, preferably variety packs, so it can help people with different like needs and situations, and then pads, cleansing wipes or baby wipes, and then like over-the-counter pain medicine, so like Myadol or Tylenol. And you can just DM me for that if you want, and I'll give you the address to send the items.
Yeah, I'm sending you a DM right now with my. Actually, can you I'll just email it to you. Oh, I see you've hit me up a bunch on DM. Thank you. I just DM'd you my email. I've got several. I'm an early investor in in a tampon company, direct to consumer, and I'm gonna hit them up. Oh, wow. I want to see where they're at. I might be able to help you. So send me an email, okay?
I don't know how many $10 gift cards I can afford.
Not many, and so I'd like you to keep it and actually use it as a base for you to get. You know, tough to be selfless without first being selfish. I'd rather use that stimulus check to actually create the base of a stability situation for you. Okay. And I will come in and help you with what you're trying to do from a good place, because I can. Yeah. And so we'll do that instead. You keep your check and start figuring out how to build a world that doesn't put you back into a car. I'll come in and help you, and we'll get some pads and tampons to the people that need it.
That's so sick, dude. Thank you. And I'm sorry I look like an entire whole grown ass man right now. But
you
don't.
You look like an amazingly beautiful woman with a very nice heart. Dustin, let's throw up her Instagram. I have a funny feeling that we can get a lot of people to help out here. It's LETTIELOTOJ. LETTIELOTOJ.
Slower, please.
Get faster, bro. Come on, fuck you, Dustin. LETTIE. LOTOJ. Here you go, Dust. LETTIE. There we go.
I got you.
Vayner Nation, let's step up. Hit up this lovely lady, DM her.
And I just wanted to thank. I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to thank you for like recognizing my question, because I tried, as you can see in DM, like several times. So the fact that you have millions of options and you picked me is like huge. I've been watching you for 6 years and I've wanted this from like day one. So,
well, we're here.
This is sick as fuck.
Agreed. I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Send me an email.
Sure.
Send me an email right now.
Okay. Can I ask my question?
Yes, of course. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I was like, oh my God. So I make content basically documenting my daily life with, I've struggled with depression since I was 16. And that's the main reason I started the channel. So I basically was like, well, there have been times where I wanted to, you know, harm myself, yep, or like had really dark thoughts. And just the thought of somebody else, primarily kids, I was hearing a lot about people that were like 15, 16 struggling with this when they should be worried about, you know, getting their braces off and passing driver's ed. They're like, do I want to be here? And I'm like, that's fucked up. So I was like, well, you know, it felt like shit. So I'm gonna, it was really nerve wracking to be that transparent, you know, because there's such a stigma surrounding mental health. But I just documented, like, if I had an episode, I took my meds on camera, because I was like, I didn't turn into a fucking dragon. Like, there's so much stigma around even medication. And I documented, like, I had a run with, you know, addiction and stuff like that for the month of April. I document my experiences with sexual assault. Basically, my question is, like, I'm worried that, you know, because I want to do this for a living, and that means that I have to have at least a certain amount of income. And I'm nervous that when people of influence see my page, they're going to see me as a liability, because sometimes I think I'm being too transparent.
You're going too general. Like, you know, that makes sense to me. You're right. 80% will. and the 20% that you need to be connected with anyway won't. See, people always don't act themselves because they're worried about some other force, college, a boss, right, the professional industry accepting them. What they don't realize is then that means they want to be accepted by an establishment by being them fake selves.
Mm-hmm.
Riot, do you know how many people, literally the entire speaking industry in 2009, like every speaking agent, every, you know, agency, every conference literally communicated to me via email, phone call, face to face. You have so much talent to be a great speaker. You will never be a big speaker because you curse too much. Don't curse and you can be a great speaker.
Yeah, I heard that shit too.
Look at these people. Look at these people. Look at these people. Look at these people. You know what's happened over the last 10 years between me and those 10 people? I fucking lapped them.
For sure, yeah.
You know why? Because I didn't waver. I didn't want to be accepted by an establishment that I didn't respect anyway. Why the fuck do you want to pander to people that you don't respect anyway?
Oh my God. And like the other thing that I realized is I was off for 5 months. They got me for 5 months because my family was like, you know, law enforcement looks at that, potential employers. And I was, you know, consequently having a hard time finding a job.
Listen to me. Judge the judgers.
Okay.
Pay attention to who's giving you that advice.
Yeah. There will be 9-to-5s and I want to be a public speaker, you know, like Kobe didn't want Shaq stats. Like, if you don't want their numbers or their lifestyle, then don't.
The only thing that you need to layer with that is figuring out what you need to do mentally and operationally and practically, of not putting yourself back in a vulnerable spot of like being in a car, right? Like, for example, you're a sweetheart, but I can't have you taking your stimulus check and spending it on giving when you don't have. I'm being serious.
Yeah, I'm horrible with money, but no,
you're fucking super horrible with money.
Yeah, like
goes back to what I said earlier. Like, you could share the all-in challenge and keep the money and start building to stability.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to do that was because like one of my tactics for helping to combat my depression is like getting the focus off of myself. I always journal about it, but I wanted to do something tangible.
I respect that, but you need to figure out a different relationship that doesn't require the fact that it puts you in a vulnerable spot, because once you go back to that vulnerable spot, you're back to fucking, you know what happens.
Yeah, right, for sure.
I don't have to tell you, you know exactly what's going to fucking happen when you go back into a fucking car in October. You're fucking off. You're fucking, it's very hard to do shit if your legs aren't underneath you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not helping anybody.
Right.
I need you to get practical about that.
For sure. I will definitely. One last thing. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be selfish. This is just like, I don't know if I'll get this chance again, but I don't mean to put you on the spot, but like I was really wanting to ask for a job.
Okay.
Because like the stimulus money is what all we have right now. And my mom bent over backwards my entire childhood. She was a single mom. Like,
I'll explain this. Right. If you can make content, then I can give you a shot. If you can't, I don't want to bullshit you. I'm like going through the process of letting jobs go, and I don't want to sit here and bullshit you. But if you are able to design or video edit, you know, then you can absolutely take that email and give me and show me what you can do, and then I can put you in touch with my team.
Yeah, and after COVID, man, I'll do it for free. Like, I'll walk to New York and sleep in a fucking tree. Like, I've slept in a car, so like,
Send me the emails. We'll talk, okay?
For sure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Ryan. Let's keep it going. Tanner. Fuck. And this was meant to be such a good talk. You got the epic rug behind you. I got the fucking classic curtains. This was going to be fucking dynamite. Can you hear me? Sorry, Dust. Let's keep it moving. All right, let's see who else. Crystal, thank you so much for being in here. Tad, Ballard, what's good? Jenny R, love you back. Carolyn, what's good? Pat.
Gary, can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I can see an incredible nerd center behind you. I'm fucking impressed.
Dude, it is. It's a passion project of mine, and I'll
it's awesome.
You kind of like kicked my ass and started like, I'm starting a YouTube channel on superheroes, so.
And TikTok, bro. TikTok.
Dude, I uploaded my first TikTok and get like 600,000 views. It's insane. Yeah. No, and I kept uploading. Yeah. No, and I'm trying to get three a day in. But here's a quick question on that. Like, does it have to be superhero related, or can I get my, okay.
No, dude. Look, yeah. You know, people ask me questions. You know how I always say, watch what I do, not what I say? Sometimes it's business. Sometimes it's garage sales. Sometimes it's a Jets photo. Sometimes it's a throwback to when I was a kid. My report card, a keynote.
Sure.
Some kid in the fucking street, a cartoon. Like, the answer is yes.
Yeah, of course.
Always yes.
I know it is, and it's so weird. I've like thought about so many questions to ask, and I'm like, oh, well, he answered that already. It's awesome. Thank you, first of all.
The question becomes, this is what this is all about. The question becomes, you all know that. I've been so consistent. I've been so historically correct. Like, I'm taking myself out of question. I've been right so long about things that are proven in history. Like, at this point, you know the tactics are right. The reason you're not doing it is this, which is why I've switched. 4 years ago, I started talking more about this. Before, I used to be tactics. But then when people weren't doing it, when they know the fucking answer, I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, right. Self-confidence, self-doubt, parenting. Yeah. Like, that's what evolved me, because I don't understand why you fuckers aren't. How the fuck are you watching this right now and not posting 3 times a day on TikTok? And you know what's crazy? Out of the 10,000 people, 99% are not, Pat.
Yeah.
99%.
Yeah. Dude, I love it, man. You're so fired up, and you make me fired up. And I'm sure the rest of my town is sick of hearing me talk about Gary Vee.
Fucking up the town,
right? Yeah, so that's like ultimately my goal. And even before I started listening to you, that was it. Like, I wanted to be the Gary Vee of Peoria, where I'm from, Peoria, Illinois. And so I'm 27. I used my skills as a videographer to build a company, and I'm freelance. I've been doing it for about 9 years. And so I guess my question would be, like, do I, you know, I know that's going to make me great money. I love doing it. It's a great career. And now I want to dabble in some other things, because my entrepreneurial spirit, right? And do I grind at the video for like 3 more years before dabbling? Well, I know I can dabble, but like, should I double down before I invest in other stuff? For instance, right now
the answer is always yes. You can double down on video and dabble.
Yeah, yeah.
Pat, I want to know your 24 hours, and I want to know your 7 days a week. I want to know. I want to literally sit on your shoulder and be like, bro, you just watched an hour and a half of fucking random videos.
Dude,
that could have been double down time.
Before, bro, I listened to you, I was watching 4 hours of Netflix a day, like, kind of shit. So I was like, dude, I had time. So, like, okay, I guess because I really want to gain value from this, and I know everyone watching, that's why you do this. So, like, right now with scenarios going on, yes, a lot of people ask me to do sweat equity. And I'm cool with that if I can get a percentage of the business, right? Like, have you dealt with that a lot? Like, is that?
Of course.
How do I go? How do I not
say yes? You say yes or no.
Okay. Yeah,
because I had a client yesterday who offered me these are now big companies who said, hey, our cash flow's fucked up. We want Vayner to do this work, but we'll share the profits on the back end. And I said, no. That's how I dealt with it.
Gotcha.
And then somebody else came in and said, hey, we know this is normally $3 million. Would you do it for 1.9? I was like, there's something there. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, sure. So should there always be something a little upfront before I like put in all my, like,
I do unlimited stuff for free.
Yeah. And I believe
Pat, this is free.
Yeah, I know, dude, this is so sick, man. I've been doing this in my town. Like, you know, I just like get people that I see that have the drive, and I FaceTime them and just start kicking their ass with these things about like document instead of create. You know,
listen to me. The answer is you're 100% in control. Everybody thinks they're getting gotten.
Yeah. That's true.
You see, like, oh fuck, this guy's a better businessman than me. He's tricking me. He's taking advantage of me during this downtime. No, he's not. He's negotiating. When you say no and walk away, he then finds another video person, or if he desperately wants you, you're in control. This is a perfect end to the start.
Yeah.
How do you handle it? You're in control.
Mm-hmm.
It's called negotiating. It's called business.
Okay.
Everybody's trying to tell, like, people, like, so many people are not cut out for business or haven't calibrated business yet. Gary, they're fucking trying to get me. No, they're not. You don't have to say yes.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
No, but really, Pat, it's like so fucking, right? Like, you're not getting hosed. You're making a decision.
Yeah, Yeah, and I feel
this is not superhero shit. They're not like some evil villain that transformed your brain and you're like, yes, Megatron, sorry. You know, like you're in fucking control.
Yeah, dude, that's so true, man. It's so true.
The problem is a lot of people whose time and efforts are not that valuable want it to be. They're actually the wrong party. They're using ego. They want the other person to succumb to them. When that people are like, Gary, you need to, I'm like, I don't need to do shit. I have 40,000 videographers lined up in my fucking DM right now, willing to work for free for 4 years so that they can be like Babin and D-Rock. Look what's happened to Dustin. Dustin literally riding BMX bikes and all of a sudden can fucking produce any fucking podcast or video show in the world.
That's what's up. Yeah, for sure.
I know what my value is and other people do as well. Maybe that, you know how many people passed on free work because they know their worth, yet that was the video that was going to change their entire career? So the fucking audacity when nobody gives a fuck about you is insane to me. People fucking walking around like they're Pablo Picasso and fucking Steven Spielberg when there's fucking 80,000 of them. All you fuckers grew up with fucking Final Cut and fucking iMovie and YouTube. You're fucking commoditized.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, Gary, I'm gonna watch this 1,000 times and just like relive it. But the one thing I will say, like when I'm showing people your stuff, I always start with the Hot Ones episode, okay? Because that was the first thing I saw, and it's like,
is that,
you know,
true? That was the first time.
Yeah, it was the first thing I saw, and it was
so
only
let's like, break it down. First time you see it, and you're like, go through the whole thing. You're like,
who's this guy? Like, yes, everyone looked at me on the couch, like you don't know this guy. Like, we feel like this is your life right now, and I'm like, no, I've never heard of this guy. So it was a perfect mixture of comedy, right? And not so like, because I have some friends that are like, oh, I don't listen to Gary. He told some high schooler to drop out. I'm like, you saw one clip for, out of context. You know what I mean? So like, I will go like, I've shared that Hot Ones probably like 10 times, showed my parents, showed, you know, because my parents are hustlers. Like, I'm like, mom, you're 65. Like, she's killing garage sales her whole life. They started card shows when they were younger. Like, it's just... it's just insane, man.
Brother, I really appreciate having you on.
Thank you, man.
You have such a good spirit. I want to be your friend. Like, I think you're going to get DMs with your handle here. It's Pat Clark. Like, I think you're literally going to get like, hey, let's be friends.
Dude, that'd be awesome, man. Hey.
Bro,
and
by the way, on the final point, all the shit in your background, like, bro, you need to lean into putting out content around superheroes on TikTok at scale.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. You do what?
I do cosplay. So I dress up and do unboxings of comics, talk shows.
I get it. I know that whole scene, bro. I'm telling you, if you go hard at TikTok, hard, three posts a day, just feeling your kindness, like youthful energy. Like, I'm telling you, you're going to find yourself at Comic-Con in a way that you could have never dreamed. And you're going to DM me and be like, Gary V, I loved you at first. And now I really fucking love you.
I can't wait for that moment, man. Hey, quick, you know, I don't read books, but I am jabbing here left and right. Right. So I want to be a public speaker and stuff anyway. Like, I know with events and stuff being canceled for a while, you see like online speaking becoming a big thing. And like, I would love to apply for Vayner speakers or something like that.
Vayner speakers, you have no shot. I'll tell you why. Cause Steve and Zach, who make the decisions, they're impossible. Like, I'm like recommending like people that have huge speaking careers are like, not right. I'm like, okay. So like, I'm scared of the Vayner speakers crew. But
that's cool. Then.
But you should do what I did. You should speak for free for a long time until you don't.
Yeah. And you know, I was going to schools and volunteering, but not documenting any of it. So like, literally changed my world. So I appreciate it. Let's get someone else on here. Have a good one, man.
Love you, man. See you soon. Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Josh. Great show today. I'm glad it's free too, man. I really hope everybody enjoyed this show. Like somebody said a comment, no beard, no bullshit. Today was a very focused fucking show. Like, we got a lot in there, Dustin, in this hour. Like,
yeah.
Got a good amount in there. What was your takeaways? Anything?
I wrote notes because things always are flying all over the place for me. I always like those parts where it's in between the calls, like when you're talking about the whole interrupting and giving, like, you wanted to give value to people. Like,
what's your take on the interrupting thing, right? Because you know, and you see, like, especially because we've been doing like coffee and commerce, and we've been doing tea with Gary Vee, and like, people really, really get mad at me, and I really understand because I think they're right. I get it. On the other side of it,
yeah,
I can see the perception of it and the feeling, but it makes so much sense to me. Like, point taken. Let's get more value out of it. I understand on the other end, there's a whole audience that didn't get the point. So that's why they want it. They're not fast enough or intuitive enough or to actually see it. So I'm fucking that up. And so I'm trying to find my balance. Like, it's a really interesting, like, look, I don't think I'm the greatest interviewer. You know, I'm not fucking Larry King. I get that. But I like it because I feel like everybody else does the other style, and you can get that. There's 8 trillion fucking, you know, videos on YouTube where you can get that. I don't know. What do you think about it?
I mean, I think it's just like, all ass kissing aside, your brain is going faster than a lot of everyone else. So it's like, you already are like a step ahead than like me. So you like already know what I'm going to say. So I get it. Like, that's why you're kind of getting to the point already. But,
it's a fine line because I also understand the other side.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do it for your audience. And if I get it, but they don't, I have to let that right. breathe.
Yeah.
It's a tricky fucking game.
But yeah, that's very true.
It's why I don't think I'll ever be the best at interviewing. But I also think, like, you know, like, I get these emails, like, literally, I was reading comments. Somebody was mad at me yesterday for the Shopify CEO, but then also DM me, like, that he follows the Shopify CEO and he got more out of our interview thoughts and information from him than he has in any of the fucking 100 articles and videos that he's watched. And that makes me lean into the, you know, interrupting. I don't even call it that. It's my interview style that is desperately, desperately trying to bring value to the audience.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause yeah, you understand people, you know what they want to know. And you're just kind of like jumping to it.
I also know what the interviewer or the person that's asking me the question is actually trying to get off, the interviewee. And I don't want them to, I want them to get to the real thing.
Interesting.
You understand?
Yeah. No,
like,
I'm
totally, you know, understand. When I, you know, I'm putting pressure on the interviewee. Like, you know, all these incredible guests are just like, everyone's like, Gary gets all these incredible guests and then fucking doesn't let them talk. Mm-mm. I don't let them to do their press release that they do everywhere else. I'm trying to fucking help you and you're fucking drilling me in the comments, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Winetext.com. Today, if you don't drink Brunello, you're making a huge mistake. One of the best wines out of Tuscany in the world. Today's offer is half price Thursday. It is finally time to step up and sign up for this if you drink wine. I can't wrap my head around why you haven't signed up. Please sign up. And then obviously, please, all in challenge, please go tweet at, leave a comment in the Instagram comments of your favorite celebrities. Please, please, please figure out how to get more people aware of the All In Challenge, allinchallenge.com. Let's get that up. Let's get a new graphic starting tomorrow, Dustin, because this just says All In Challenge. Let's get the allinchallenge.com part. I see that you do that. I see what you're doing. Got it. You always support it with the URL below.
I'll get the full version.
Yep. Yeah, let's do that. Please support the All In Challenge. We're raising, I think we're over 20, we're at about 25 million. Where are we at? All In Challenge. We are at $25 million raised in 2 weeks. It would mean a lot to me if you supported it. And if you want to give a $10 donation to the All In Challenge to feed the hungry during this terrible time, please check out my auction on All In Challenge, GaryVee.com/All In Challenge. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is One of the Best for Business Owners by Mr. Flutter. At first, you don't know how to react to Gary. Who is this guy? Why is he sharing all this helpful info? What does he even do? Then you get hooked and find it to be a path to one of the most helpful resources you have in business. Take a listen and get ready. Have an open mind, and if he rubs you the wrong way, look past it and hear him out. Thanks, Mr. Flutter. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.